Earlier this week, a new building took the mantle as New York's tallest, and One World Trade Center still has 500 feet to go. After 9/11, many predicted the demise of the skyscraper, but megastructures continue to rise around the world. National status symbols, testaments to human ingenuity. Was there one building, one moment that riveted your imagination? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. David Childs is lead architect of One World Trade Center. He joins us from our bureau in New York, and congratulations.
Great. Thank you, Neil. Glad to be here.
And I wonder, when you were growing up, was there one building, one moment that you said, wow?
Well, I suppose in my youth, I remember best that great station, Pennsylvania Station in New York, which we lost to demolition a number of years ago. But as to tall buildings, no, not really. I grew up in part in Washington, and I always thought that the Washington Monument was pretty terrific, but of course it has no windows in it.
It does not have any windows. Washington, interestingly, the city that mandates no tall structures, nothing taller than that Washington Monument.
Yes. In fact, when I was head of the Planning Commission down there, I was the greatest supporter of that because it's ironic that Washington is a European town, but it is our nation's capital. And in the fact that it's distinguished, singular like that, I think is appropriate.
You have designed, been involved in the construction of several mega structures. Why did you get interested in that?
Well, as an architect, and if you're either interested in smaller scale rooms or even furnishings or in the largest projects, airports or tall buildings, I just happen to be towards that other end, that one end that is interested in city building. And, of course, those elements are often large projects like the rebuilding of Ground Zero.
And some people would call them grandiose. You call them that? Obviously, you probably come down more on the grand part.
Well, you're right there. No, I think the grand is certainly complicated. City buildings tend to be. They have enormous infrastructure and all sorts of concerns about density and supplying services and so forth. But they're fascinating, and they really do make the image of a city, which we all, I think, respond well to.
There is a special mission to One World Trade Center.
Yes. In the master plan, it called for that to be the tallest building down there. I chose to have the building, which is now being built and not yet topped out, but almost, to be exactly the same height as one of the towers that fell, 1,368 feet. The ceremony this week was to mark friendly competition between which one is the tallest, and Empire State Building held that record until this time. But I tell you, Neil, that if you go up in the buildings and you look across the city, it's very hard to tell which one is taller at that height.
Yet when the trade centers were there, it wasn't hard to tell that they were taller than the Empire State Building.
Well, you know, that's interesting. I think you're absolutely right, because they were a significant jump from the other buildings in the downtown, one of the great cores of our city here, the other being Midtown, where Empire State Building is, along with Chrysler and other tall buildings. So you're right. There was a real void in the sky that was formed when the buildings came down, and that fact was mentioned to me often. So I was always a great proponent of rebuilding and rebuilding a tall building downtown. And that's exactly what's happened now.
That building makes a particular statement. But in general, what statement do grand structures like One World Trade Center, the Empire State Building, the Chrysler Building, or the old Sears Tower in Chicago, what are they saying?
Well, they say something about our DNA to want to congregate as people. People want to get together, whether it's for worship or marketplace or for business, commerce. And downtown certainly has had commerce and financial activities at its core for ever since its beginning. So that the density that you have, and New York is alone, frankly, like Hong Kong, and being a very tight island, the Manhattan portion of it, so you have to push buildings up to be able to get that density. As a result, it's actually one of the most efficient, environmentally sound constructions, because you have so many people working and living exactly where all the infrastructure has been put. So I think that cost per square foot in terms of energy and all those environmental matters is actually wonderfully low in New York City compared to suburban development.
They also have to be visionary, yet in so many cases, certainly the case with the Empire State Building when it first opened, and now that world's tallest building in Dubai, a lot of unoccupied space.
Well, you do have the cyclical matters. When Empire State Building was built, of course, it was right at the Depression. They built it in record time, and it took a while to fill up, and then it was full, and then, of course, markets went down. It was emptier for a little while, so it's back and forth. But the signs are all good for major new infrastructure to come in, and a need for these new buildings that are technologically much better than they were even 10 years ago. And we have learned a lot from the lessons of 9/11 to make buildings better. But I think that as far as the image of the city, it's always been there. The tallest buildings in the medieval or Gothic towns, so of course, were the cathedral. And then it was other spires. Trinity Church, right there at Grand Zero, was the tallest building in America for a long, long time.
Now dwarfed, of course.
Now absolutely dwarfed, but its wonderful little graveyard space around it is full of people in the having lunch there, and I believe that will be the case in the buildings of the memorial and the parks around it, too. So it's designed for people at ground level just as much as it is about what you see on the skyline.
We're talking with David Childs, design partner at Skidmore, Owings & Merrill, chief architect and designer of One World Trade Center, which this past week rose to become the tallest building in New York City. 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Was there one building, one moment that riveted your imagination? We'll start with Anthony. Anthony's with us in Baton Rouge.
Yes, how you doing? It's the first time calling with Neil. I'm a big fan of the show. And I just wanted to talk about, I'm from New Jersey originally, and I had the Empire State Building in my backyard. And, of course, I grew up around the World Trade Center, and I used to work right on 350 Hudson Street right when the towers came down. So that's a very personal thing for me. And then I lived in Chicago for a few years, and a building that enamored me the most was the Hancock Building. Really had more of an effect for me, more so than the Sears Tower. I just like just that, you know, that dark building just in the middle of the town, and just how it, you know, how it's broad at the bottom and then gets narrower at the top, and then just about the history of, you know, of the building and how it sways. And I know this is less of a building, it's a monument, but the St. Louis Arch has always had an effect on me, just how they, you know, the short amount of time that it took for them to build it, and just building it from the base and then meeting in the middle. You know, I know it's a monument, not a building, but, you know, just for the engineering aspect of it, you know, what Eero Saarinen was able to do with that design, you know, that's really, you know, what's how those things affected me.
And David Childs, I think it works primarily for that twist in the arch.
Well, yes, exactly. That's the beautiful symbol of the gateway that was opening from the east to the west, which, of course, is its purpose there. And it was very complicated to build, though, that structure because, of course, it leans against each other and had to meet exactly in the middle. But it was beautifully done, and it's a real symbol to today. Everybody knows exactly what it is.
Anthony, thanks very much for the call, and thanks for the kind words.
Thank you, Neil.
Let's see if we go next to, this is Gene. Gene with us from Fresno.
Hi, Neil. Great fan of your show. Thank God you're on the air because I wouldn't know what to listen to if you guys weren't there.
Oh, thank you very much. Go ahead, please.
Well, my big experience is my dad had a job putting antennas on big buildings, and I was on the World Trade Center on the very top looking straight down. And that for me was, I mean, I've been on other tall buildings, and looking down, they're normally tapered, so you don't get a clear shot to the ground. But the World Trade Center, when I went to the edge, I laid down, I poked my head over the side there, was the first time I experienced fear. My dad had told me about this, you know, growing up. He said, son, you better be careful with that because you're going to look over the edge one day, and there's this fear that grips you that kind of immobilizes you. And I was like, what are you talking about, Pops? You know, all right, I'm not going to worry about that. Well, sure enough, I looked over the edge, and when you look down, it looks like it's going underneath you. You could see straight down, and there's no way to describe it. I was like, oh, my gosh, and I was so scared for the moment, and that was pretty much the end of my adventures of looking over the edges of buildings after that, because it was, I don't know what the term for that is, but it was amazing.
I think it's called vertigo.
I think that's the word.
Yeah, and I guess you're not going to be the next Philippe Petit.
No. I'm not crossing any buildings with ropes, I think is who you're referring to. But it's just when you look down, it looks like it goes under you, not exactly straight down. It's such a strange feeling. And I almost swore I could feel a little wobble. Maybe the fear was what was kicking in.
Could have been your knees shaking, yes.
Yeah, but Dave, great fan of your show, and that was my experience with tall buildings, and that was the end of it for me. And now I do paragliding, so I have something that holds me up.
Okay, Gene, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you, too.
David Childs, do you go to the edge and look over?
Well, I do. I'm one of those fortunate people that aren't so worried about it, but I think that James is just right. If you're attached to the building, you feel much more the sense of vertigo than if you were actually flying over it. Nobody has that same feeling when they're in airplanes. And buildings, of course, do wobble. They move back and forth, and we design them to be stiffer or less stiff, depending upon the occupancy. In residential buildings, you just don't want to have any movement that you can keep away. But in tall buildings, they do move back and forth in the wind. You can't resist everything, and in fact, being supple is actually a feature of tall buildings.
Was the greatest press agent for the skyscraper King Kong?
I suppose for the Empire State Building it was, although it comes back to haunt us in our thoughts about it. The tall buildings really are unique. They're not just high-rises. They really are skyscrapers. And you have to design them very carefully to withstand not gravity. You would think that would be the greatest force in a big, heavy building like that. But the big force is wind. It's an overturning moment. If you think about a sailboat, it catches the wind, and it leans over, that mass dips off of the perpendicular. So to be, and of course, in a tall building, which is very slender, you can't sort of spread its legs like you, one a human being would to withstand a horizontal force. So you have to design them, and in this case, it's bolted down to actually the most wonderful base, which is that enormous great shift of granite that goes underneath all of New York. And so it's pretty firm and pretty fixed and very robust.
We're talking with David Childs, design partner at Skidmore, Owings and Merrill, chief architect and designer of One World Trade Center. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And I've had the chance to be in downtown New York a couple of weekends over the past year, overlooking different parts of the construction site. The last one just a couple of weekends ago, overlooking the One World Trade Center and the new memorials. And as I looked at it, I was reminded of, can you give us some idea? You talked about being bolted down to that granite, but the amount, the weight of the material being excavated in relation to the weight of the building.
Well, I don't know that. That's an interesting question. Actually, probably really quite minor when you think about a building that tall. You know, it's a very, very tall building, and all of the steel and the concrete that goes into it, let alone the skin, and then finally the tenants and all the furniture that will be in there, is an enormous, enormous load. There's about 80 feet between grade and the rock. And in that, interestingly enough, right underneath this very tall buildings goes the PATH train, which is the train that takes commuters from New York to New Jersey. And it's not only going through, but it's curving at that point. So technically it was very difficult to do. But in that space, it was empty before because they had built what they called the bathtub to keep out the Hudson River. This building is in the Hudson River. It just happens to be, you know, decked over and fill put in place. But it was originally not until you got up to Greenwich Street that the lapping waves of the edge of the river occurred. So it was very, very complicated to be able to build it all, get down there, tie it to the base, and then begin construction from grade up. That was relatively simple because it's quite repetitive as you go up.
Yeah. Let's go to John. John with us from Tulsa.
Hi there. This is John in Tulsa. I wanted to tell you I went on a bicycle tour of England and France when I graduated college in 1985 before all the security measures. And I went up to the top of Notre Dame, the cathedral, and I was able to go out and scramble up the tin roof up to that pole on the very top and hang on one arm and just lean out over the city And when I think about my tour of England and France, I think that was my moment. Just seeing all the flying buttresses and all the architecture just was amazing. And just standing above the city on the top of Notre Dame was amazing. That was my moment.
Anyone who does not have vertigo will envy you. Thanks, John, very much. And he mentions the flying buttresses and those the other architectural elements of the Gothic cathedral. We have come such a long way. Materials have made such a huge difference in how we construct our buildings these days.
Well, that's right, because in the Gothic cathedrals, it was just stones laid on top of each other, and which they cannot take any horizontal force at all. They're great in taking gravity loads. But when you get it to be taller and the angle of the roof, the buttresses are there to push it back and hold it in place. And that's what we do today, but we do it by making welded connections that can resist that overturning moment, because we just can't, frankly, put buttresses out. They'd go all the way across the streets to be able to support the very tall buildings.
David Childs, again, congratulations. Thanks very much for your time.
Well, thank you. Glad to be with you.
David Childs joined us from our bureau in New York. He's the lead architect on One World Trade Center apartment, a partner at Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill. Tomorrow it's Talk of the Nation Science Friday. Ira Flatow will be here. And we end today with a goodbye. This is the last week for our summer intern, Bolanle Omoshore. For the past few months, she not only responded to your emails, sent out our tweets, and ran our scripts, she also thought up and produced a number of our recent segments and argued passionately and persuasively for many of the topics she cares about. Bola, thank you very much. We wish you the best of luck. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.